I have one seat in first class and one in coach. The price is the same because your flight was canceled.
Oh. I'll take the first class.
Jerry?
What?
Why should you get the first class?
Elaine, have you ever flown first class?
No.
All right, then. See, you don't know what you're missing. I've flown first class, Elaine. I can't go back to coach. I can't. I won't.
You flew here, coach.
Yeah, that's a point.
All right, fine. I don't care. The plane crashes. Everybody in first class is going to die anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll live.
All right, now, I used to do this bit years ago called News of the Obvious.
Is that how you said it, or was that just sort of your Ted Cruz thing?
Nope, that was how we said it. Okay. And the and there's a study out today that so fits into this. I can hardly believe that they actually did this. Can hardly believe it. There is a relationship between air rage and people who are find themselves disenchanted on their flight with the existence of a first class cabin on the plane.
What? So the existence of a first class cabin makes people fly into air rage?
Tribune has a story today. If you felt your blood pressure rise after seeing passengers being served champagne on the tarmac while you're fighting for overhead space in coach, you are not alone.
It is kind of, you know, they're already on their first cocktail when you're kind of pushing your way through into your middle seat that you can't fit into and your stuff doesn't go anywhere.
Exactly.
And it's almost like you wish they sat the first class people after.
Right.
And it doesn't work that way.
Right.
They get to be seated first, too.
Right. Researchers report that the simple presence of a first class cabin on an airplane is correlated with a fourfold increase in the chance of an air rage incident in economy class.
Gosh, I wonder what that's about.
When economy class passengers are forced to pass through the luxurious first class area on their way to the cramped economy seats, the rate of air rage incidents is seven times higher.
Seven times.
Than if there were no first class seats at all.
So it does appear that there's some link. Gosh, yes. I guess I've never thought of it that way. I've thought about all the other problems with traveling and how, you know, you just get a headache even thinking about getting on a plane these days and all, just everything about it, you know, but the first class, is it subconscious, do you think? Because I don't know, I don't noticeably walk by first class and think, oh gosh, they already are seated.
I despise them. I get it.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you think they're looking down on you? Do you feel badly like they're looking through you like, oh, peasant?
They should just move them to the back and use the back door.
Like a separate entrance.
Well, in Europe, they do.
Then they don't have to see us. We don't have to see them, and it's just comfortable.
There are some European carriers that do that, and that's in the old days the way they used to do it. That the first class was in the back, but it is. But now it's. But you know, not here in the U.S. of A.
Now they just rub it in your face.
Right.
Look what you don't have.
Then when you walk through, it is true. It's sort of like you're tripping over the. The flight attendant, the one flight attendant who is assigned solely to giving all of the pampering treatment to these six people.
And she's making jokes with them already. You know, like they've been best friends their whole life as they pour champagne.
Right.
And you're like bumbling through, knocking your suitcase around, and they're just kidding and laughing.
Yeah, but you guys have been in first class, right?
No.
Yeah.
Never? I mean, wow, it's really good.
It is good.
Yeah.
Well,
I can tell.
And you fall right into it. You're like, oh, God, here come the peasants.
Judy.
Of which I was just
Queen
one
Judy.
A couple weeks ago. Now, you know what else, though, really pissed me off? The airline, I show up, you know, to get on the plane.
Here we go. There's going to be an air rage incident on the show right now.
Judy's on the way.
It's the difference between first class and no class because they're like, oh, yeah, we gave your seat away. I'm like, what do you mean you gave my seat away? I have a reserved seat. And she's like, well, there was a family that wanted to sit together.
Oh.
But that's how they talk to you. And I'm like, what am I going to say? I don't care. I'm alone traveling, but I'm like, you know, because then, of course, my seat was all the way in back.
by the potties.
Yeah. So what's even the point of reserving a seat when they're just like, well, we're just going to give it away if we want.
It does seem like the people who help you in first class are there for your like pleasure and to make sure you're happy. And then back in the back, it's like, right. We're here for your safety.
Exactly.
Just shut up, okay?
And first class was
look at
like,
me. Look at me and I will taser you. Don't even think about it.
Wait, how about when they bring the cart out? You can't. It's like, all right, now we're doomed. The cart's here. You can't sit here for the next hour while people decide if they want weak coffee or water.
Right. You're lucky you don't get waterboarded back in Guantanamo.
Yeah, and, but first class was like even better than I thought. You know what I mean?
Did you go on a long flight? So you got to
Puerto
the full
Rico.
Service?
Yeah, it's like 4.5 hours.
It
was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, the study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, based on data collected by a large international airline over several years and over many thousands of flights. And the air rage is, it's kind of interesting, the air rage is relatively unique. It happens, on average, about 1.5 times per 1,000 flights.
An air rage would be like getting in arguments, getting angry.
Air rage is defined as a person who it becomes defiant and refuses the orders of the cabin crew, whatever that happens to be. So they're refusing to sit down or they won't turn off their phones or whatever that is. So that's, and that's a pretty, that's a very low standard. The incidents that we hear about are ones that elevate to a guy trying to get out the door, right, while at an altitude, or, someone who has to be literally plastic handcuffed to their seat and gagged. you get those kinds of situations. But, a lot of that, too, has happened in the post-Ambien world, where people will take an Ambien on a flight and have a couple of cocktails.
I thought that would make you pass out.
No. Well, if you can fight off, if you're drinking on Ambien, anything can happen. That's the problem. That's one of the warnings.
Where do you
Ambien.
Get some of these?
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Don't let the millennials know.
But you won't recall it. That's, whenever you hear a story of a guy that put his head through the cockpit door trying to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Johnny. When you hear about that, that is always a guy who's on Ambien. It is almost exclusively.
I was just on a flight flying back yesterday, and the gentleman next to me reeked of alcohol. He was very built, so he didn't fit in his seat. So he was one of those that spilled over and covered your little panel that that you're supposed to use to use your monitor and move things around and stuff and change your volume. And he also was punching his arm like almost like he couldn't control it. Like, he just all of a sudden would punch his arm into the sky, in front of him. And I thought, what is going on here? I mean, this guy.
Was he in the window or was he in the aisle?
He was in the aisle. And I just thought the whole time, like, he must be on something. I mean, who does that?
That was the nicest way anyone's ever described somebody who's extremely overweight and can't fit in.
No, he wasn't overweight. He was built. Like, he was like a big guy, whose arms couldn't really go down next to his body.
Oh,
they were spilling over into the seat.
Curls for the girls, Anna.
Curls for the girls, although these were not particularly lovely curls. I was not that, I was not into these curls because of this whole thing. And I just thought Congress was trying to make there would be a minimum on seats. And that was just let go, and that didn't happen. But it's like, how much smaller can they get?
Air rage, by the way, in the first class cabin, happens almost never. 1/10 of a point per 1,000 flights.
We're out of caviar?
No way!
Although don't make me raise my voice.
I gotta say, now if you're flying internationally or something like that, and you get business class or first class internationally, forget about it. Somebody get that like a little suite with a
fully reclinable
bed
seats.
Yeah. But like even in business class on some international carriers, you get the fully reclinable seats and it's nice and you're, and you get the what would be domestic first class kind of service. And that is, it's pretty special. It's pretty great. But again, they don't want to complain because they're lying fully back there. The people who are back in steerage who are still literally with the seat back in front of them in their nose while they're trying to fold it in like an envelope.
I don't know how people sleep. I mean, how do you do it? And I even got one of those headrests for the very first time yesterday because I was
super
tired. The blow-up deals. And then you're even more facing forward into your own lap. Like, you're even pushed further because they already have the little seat head cushion, and then you've got that pushes you forward even more. It's
And people get so upset when you put your chair back now.
Well,
half the people don't even do it.
I don't think you should have to be able to fully recline it, because then you've got someone else's head in your lap. And we've talked about that. It's not
Yeah,
right.
But some people do it, so it's either all or nothing.
By the way, not always an unpleasant sensation. The reality, though, is that they have those devices that you could put into the seat back that keeps the person in front of you from reclining.
Yeah, I can never recline in my chair. Either there's a big dude behind me or someone has one of those.
I think it brings more discomfort to the person behind you than it does to the person sitting in the seat. It barely even goes back. It just messes sort of with the back side of the chair and makes it uncomfortable for the person behind
you. I put it all the way back. I get nauseous sitting so straight. Unless you want someone throwing up. I don't know.
That's right. Do you get up and say that too? Unless you people want someone to throw up.
Violetta probably does, actually.
You're going to let me put this back here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we currently have an agitated passenger in the rear cabin, and what we'd like to do right now is ask everybody to get up in line and handcuff her to her own chair. We know you've got a lot of choices when you fly. I want to thank you for flying.
I just don't think that this was a study that needed to be made.
Well, I do because I'm fascinated that they link it to having to observe the first class, because I wouldn't have made that connection. I would just think it's just all the issues around air travel that make it such a pleasant experience.
7 times more likely to have an air rage incident on your flight if you've had to walk through first class to get to your crappy, tight, sitting next to an angry, drunken, overweight person coach seat. 7 times more likely. Uh-huh. If you've seen I'll bet you it would be interesting to read this, the full data here. If you're walking through a small first class cabin versus a large first class cabin.
And the more luxurious, like you said, the international flights, you've got several areas of first and then business and then executive, and then you find your seat. It's even more depressing.
Oh, that's
you're
the
like,
worst.
Wait a minute, I didn't make any of those cuts.
I didn't know I could have been here. What's wrong with being here?
Or when they close the curtain, you can't see what's past this.
You may not use our bathroom.
I know.
Go get
I'm
in
like,
line
come
back there.
On. Got to sneak in.
That always screws me. I never know if there's always two bathrooms, but one of them sometimes is past the first class area. I'm like, can I go to that one? I don't know. There's all this protocol. And then there's like a huge line in the back of the plane.
Do you ever get kicked out of first class while waiting to go to the bathroom?
I've been stuck in between in that uncomfortable spot where I walked over there and then I was embarrassed because I realized I wasn't supposed to go to the first class bathroom. So then I shame walked all the way to the back of the plane.
I'm doing this for deep vein thrombosis. Right.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, a little stretching out the legs.
Right, I don't want to have any clots. You know, that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm doing this.
Stretching the legs.
Yeah, my doctor told me to do that.
At the age of 25.
Yeah.
Kevin worries about that.
Yeah, it could happen at any age, Anna. Could happen at any age.
I'm sure it can.
All right. Well, that's the study that did not need to be made. Authors report the presence of first class was associated with greater odds of air rage, similar to the effect of a 9-hour, 29-minute flight delay. Right? So flight delays are also a precursor of air rage.
Oh,
but the flight has to be delayed by more than 9.5 hours to have the same rate as the air rage. Although, you know what I think is unfair here? Because there's only really one airline that flies a single cabin.
Southwest.
Single class cabin, right? And Southwest, and everybody's in on the joke at Southwest. That is, it really is communism at work when you're on board the plane, because you're there, everybody's, you know, each to everyone, you know, and it's only if you get in the first row or you get the exit rows, and even the exit rows don't look like they're better than the other rows, except for that one seat that I always take that's next to the exit that has nothing in front of it. So I stretch my legs
out.
That's a great
seat.
When people are trying to hold seats for people that got on the plane after them, you know, they're using everything on them to hold the seats. There's like a pair of keys on the seat next to them. They have a magazine on the other one.
You know, there's a great trick, by the way. If you want to, there's people that like married couples or whatever that will take the aisle and the window on Southwest and just leave the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like in the B section, and you get on board, you got to look for people who look like they're together who've done that. And then you say, well, I'll take the middle seat. And then they'll go sit next to each other.
Oh,
so
then
either
you get the
aisle or you'll get the window, depending on, you know,
it's a pro what tip it is. Right.
That's a really good tip there. Yeah. Look for people who clearly,
they have a guilty look on their face. You can tell.
The tip is they're trying not to look at each other, right? But you could tell they're like sharing, you know, like you could tell they got like intimate things out already. Like, you know, her purse is open right next to the, you know, sort of in the centerpiece, you know, next to the, these would not be strangers. There's certain tips.
They have matching headrests.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. They both have, they're both not wearing socks. Right. You know, in first class, you just walk in, there's always a guy who looks like Carl Icahn sitting in first class, who's like overly tanned. He's got a gold, he's got a little gold bracelet on that matches his, the skin color of his tan matches the gold bracelet. He's not wearing socks. He's got an open shirt. You could tell he's a, you know, road warrior. He's, you know, 1K. Mm-hmm. He's always, he refers to the flight attendants by their first names. It's that guy.
I think it's pretty bad when you see kids in first class too. You're like, oh man. Even the 7-year-old is here in first class.
Yes,
like, I'm not.
Yeah, that's it. And the 7-year-old is always the one likely to throw up in first class. By the way, seeing that I was on a flight coming back from the Caribbean in first class, and there was a family and they had a baby in a lap, and they changed the baby in our like row, and pushed us over to the side because, excuse us, we got to lay the baby on the floor in the row.
Well, I've heard that's one of the reasons why you shouldn't use the tray table without like cleansing it, because they've been used to change baby diapers before. That was another reveal from the airlines last week.